Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
And Dr. Katie Eastman, we really need to fix that intro, don't we, Katie? It's taped by Randy Kay, though. She is awesome. We love our Randy Kay. But we got to get that cleaned up a little bit, don't we? Added.
Oh, well, that'll be great. Whenever.
Yes, you know, whenever. Yeah. Let's do our warm-ups. Ready? La, 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 la. We have to get our radio voices on because, you know, we are radio stars. Oh, cool. We do have a guest, and we're totally joking around.
All right. Yay.
The real star has showed up. Okay, hang on just a minute because we're stretching for time here. Oh, that's really funny. Okay, hang on. Hi. This is Elizabeth.
Hello.
You know, before we went on, we were trying to have some time with you before we went on the air because we didn't know how to pronounce your name right, and that's so embarrassing, but now we're live, so you get to teach us how to pronounce your name. We were tossing back and forth, Chalen or Chalen?
It's Chalen.
Oh, see, we totally destroyed it both ways.
You know, I'm so Chalen. Used to it, it's okay. I pretty much answer to anything, but it's pronounced Chalen.
Chalen Kate. Okay. Oh, wow. We are so, you know, we were goofing around like we do when if we don't see that guest in that 5-minute hold space before we go live on air, we start to freak out a little bit. And so we're like, I think we're just going to open the show singing. So I apologize.
Okay. So how was I going? How was the singing? Because I just freaked out when I looked at the email and I went, oh my God, 9:55. I should have called 5 minutes ago.
That's okay. But we did our warm up chorus radio star that la 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 kind of thing. So we're all back up now. If you thought
okay,
you
so
play,
I can listen to it on the
yeah. No, well, yeah. Actually, before we go, because it was us doing it. Katie, do your la la la. Come on, you got to do one. I did it. You do.
La 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 la.
Okay, now you have to do one too, Chalen. Challenge.
Challenge.
La
la la la la.
Okay, all right, now
there
we're good
go.
To go. Okay,
now
I
we're
have
good.
To write that down because I'm going to screw that up. It's Chalen.
Chalen.
Oh, okay. That's the Midwest.
I always say it's like Alan with a
shh. Ooh, I like that. Okay, there we go. I got it. You got it, Katie?
I got it. And Chalen, welcome. Nice to meet you. You have an awesome
you too.
Show. It really is fun.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
you can
in
fun.
It really is. And in honor of your fun show full of music, we decided to enter this day with music and fun. So welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, our kids, I got to tell you, I was in the kitchen before we went on air here, and I told my kids who I was interviewing, and I just mentioned you, and I said, Mrs. Knight from Big Time Rush. You know, I didn't destroy your name to them. And all of them went bonkers. And Katie's daughter went bonkers too. And you know, do you have a peaceful life going out into the grocery store even? Or do the kids all go, This is nice.
I love it. They're so sweet. I love it when kids just come up to me and hug me.
because
grown ups can't do that. But it's cute when kids do it.
It yeah. must be sweet.
Okay, so tell us about the show. Tell us a little bit about the show, where it airs, what it is, you know, what it's about, and things like that.
Well, Big Time Rush airs on Nickelodeon, and we are currently on Monday nights, Big Time Mondays, at 7:30. And we are in season 3 of the show. And Big Time Rush is also a band, so that's what the show is about. It's about a boy band called Big Time Rush. And
when the show first started, the pilot was about them auditioning for this opportunity to become the next hot boy band. And so now we've evolved. We moved from Minnesota to L.A., and the music is going really well. They're actually, they really do have two albums out, and they are doing their third tour right now. They're in Atlanta tonight.
Wow.
Yeah. And the music is great. They're amazing. These guys are so talented. I adore them.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. In real life, is it I don't know how old they are in real life and so forth, but is it really like habit? Because I'm a mom of four boys, so I get it.
Oh, you are?
I am, yeah. My boys are 11, 13, 15, and 17. So I get all
wow.
the – and mine all four play baseball, not hockey, and they don't do – but they do – they do band stuff here and there, fun stuff,
uh-huh.
but not a boy band or anything like that. But do you feel like you're a mom of four boys?
Well, I play Kendall's mom, and Kendall and Katie.
Oh, okay.
So Kendall is the lead singer in the band, and so the other three, I'm sort of the den mother. I'm the one that
okay.
got elected to come to L.A. and we live in this apartment complex. It's sort of like the Oakwoods, but it's called the Palmwoods. And so I'm sort of the den mother to the others. But I do feel
kind of mean more like in real life.
Paternal.
I kind of mean like in real life, the four boys who are in the show, do you feel like in real life you know, your mom to them in real life too a little bit? Does it cross over at all?
I do, a little
bit.
I can't help but feel very proud of them and everything that they've accomplished, and I feel really close to all of them. And yeah, I do feel, it's funny that I feel sort of maternal to Kendall and to Katie, and you know, I want to protect them and look out for them. And they, of course, have really amazing moms in real life, too.
Yeah.
But I'm so proud of them.
Shallon, I know that this season you guys are going to be approaching the issue of they're famous now and how to handle fame. And are you bringing some of your own experience to your part in this season?
Well, yeah, they are definitely dealing with fame in this season, and because it has changed dramatically for them. It's you know, it's different. It's for me, but I do feel I do want to, you know, protect them. And that, like in the very first episode, I hurled a frying pan at someone because they were they were trying to take pictures of the boys. So I think that was, you know, what the creator of the show had in mind, was to sort of take advantage of what was happening to them in real life. I mean, they have bodyguards, you know, wherever they go now.
Yeah. In real life too, I'm guessing.
Yes. In real life.
Yeah, in real life, yeah. Now, for you in real life, you are a mom. Are you a mom of two or three?
I'm a mom of two. Mm-hmm.
Two.
A boy and a girl.
Oh, cute. And how old are your kids?
My daughter's 3 and my son is 6.
Oh, you're a busy mom.
Yes, I am.
Oh. How do you balance career and being a mom? We get that. We have a lot of moms who try to do that, and it's tough, especially
yeah.
in a more high-profile acting type of thing. How do you balance that?
Well, it is tough. I think you just have to take it one day at a time. It's what's unusual about my job is that my hours are never the same. It's not 9 to 5. It's, you know, whenever they tell me my call time is. So it could be 6 a.m. and I could be working until, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. It depends on the day. So I rely heavily on my husband to help, and we have lots of babysitters and family, and so everyone helps out. And then there are also days when I don't work, and so I can take advantage of that and totally be there just with my kids.
You know,
but
it is
challenging.
You know, in a couple of years of doing this show now, the one thing that Kate and I have learned is that as glamorous and amazing as acting looks, it's actually a ton of work.
Yeah, it is.
Can you explain why?
Well, it's you know, depending on what you're working on, there's a lot of character development that needs to be done by the actor on your own time, and you know, learning about your character and making these choices and discovering who that character is, and then there's also learning the script and learning your lines, and so that you're ready when you walk on set, and so that you can be completely ready to go, and that takes a lot of time. And then there's everything else that you have to do outside of acting. There's, you know, helping to promote the show and things like that. So yeah, there's a lot of juggling, and there is a lot of outside of work. There's a lot of homework that I think most people don't realize.
Yeah, and to make it kind of a complete fun experience. Do you find that those are the added things that you do? Do you know what I mean? To make it a success? Because I can imagine, like, if I was on Big Time Rush, for example, I don't think I'd ever shut up about it. Be like, hey, guess what? Hey, look at that. Hey, tune in. Hey, click on that link. Look at that blog. You know, kind of thing. Is it a lot of that? Or does a whole crew handle that for you? Or do you still find yourself doing that as well?
I do some of it. I mean, I'm on Twitter, and I post things, and I talk to the fans and interact that way. And yeah, I mean, I go to screenings and events and things like that, and talking to you guys about the show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It must be the fun part of it. I'll be quiet so Katie can ask you questions. I know Katie.
Well, I was listening to one of your interviews this morning, and one of the things you said that I really loved was you said, if you want to be an actor, you have to really love it. And one of the things Best Ever You says is, you know, follow your bliss, be happy, be joyful, follow what you love to do. And mm-hmm. you said very clearly, because it's hard, because it's demanding, you have to really love it. And I thought that was great that you said that. And you said something about, you know, fame fleets. So you want to get into this business because you love the business and you want to work and do this kind of work. And, I mean, I think that is really applicable to anything. And I thought that was well said. And my question about that is, how do you, you know, these young guys that are just entering this world, how are they doing with that, with learning that, and with are any tips to someone out there who's young and wants to do this?
Let's see. Well, I absolutely believe that you have to love what you do. And I think that a lot of people get into this business for the wrong reasons, and that can be incredibly disappointing. So if you're doing it because you love it and you just love to act and you love to be on stage, and if you get joy out of being in a 99-seat theater doing a show, then that is incredibly fulfilling. Because there's no guarantee that you're going to, you know, end up on a TV show or in movies. And so I, you know, with the guys on the show, I have a lot of respect for them and how hard they work. They wanted this part so badly, and they gave it everything they had. They auditioned multiple times, and they had to come in and sing and dance and then come back and sing a different song, and they are constantly working. When we're not shooting the show, they are shooting a music video, or they're learning a new song, or they're learning dance numbers, or they're recording a song, or they're, you know, doing what they're doing right now, going on tour. And they understand the opportunity that they've been given, and they're taking that seriously, and
it sounds like you are too, though.
It
sounds like this was an opportunity for you as well, because you're a graduate of the University of Georgia. Is this what you intended on doing with your world and life?
Yes, I knew that I wanted to be an actor, I feel incredibly fortunate, and I love working on the show, and I totally embrace the role of Mrs. Knight. It's so much fun to play, and yes, I will just I'll do this, and then I will keep going and keep doing other things, and I'm actually doing a play that opens next week. Because I believe you have to go back to the theater and keep working on your craft.
How hard was it for you to, you know, you've been on a ton of things. This isn't the only thing that you've done is Big Time Rush and this role. You've been on Desperate Housewives, Criminal Minds. Let me know if I'm missing things that you've been on Missing. you've been in the Heat of the Night. You know, were those things that you did, when did you do those? And once you're in a series like Big Time Rush, does it lend itself to go do other things? Can you play characters on other things? Or are you locked into being Mrs. Knight?
Well, I can actually go and play other characters. Although I would take into consideration how the network would feel about, you know, what type of role it is. But yes, I can play, I can go and do anything. And I have been, let's see, I'm trying to answer your question. Let's see, In the Heat of the Night was, that was the first show that I ever worked on. And then I've just done different episodics for years, and I love it. I love going from show to show and having all of these different kinds of characters. It's been so much fun.
Yeah. Do you kind of hinted toward being careful of what characters you might play because you're on Nick, and that's about as clean cut as it gets. You know, if you go turn it on playing a serial murderer or something, people might not like
right.
That.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to, you know, frighten any children.
They're used to kind of like the Happy Days mom, in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Funny.
You know,
well,
I'm so lucky.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm so lucky that I am on a show that my kids can watch. Because I know a lot of people, you know, work on things, and their kids, there's no way their kids could ever watch them do anything because they're always, you know. Dolph Lundgren is a friend of mine, and he's like, my daughters have never seen me do anything because I've never done a movie where I didn't have a weapon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, see,
that
I'm really lucky.
I love
well,
that.
And that was one of the things we were talking about before we got on the air was how really fortunate we are that there are shows like that we can show our children and teach them good values. And that is a really wonderful. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I went to a Grease sing-along the other day and was watching the movie Grease for the first time in many years. And, oh, my God, it's a wonder any of us have healthy relationships after those role models. You know,
Grease.
Grease, yeah, you know, it's the woman who changes to be who he wants her to be, and, you know, they both change to be who the other one wants them to be, and then they go off into the heavens, and just all kinds
movie,
of
you just
really...
Have to not, you really have to not think about that movie, though. You just have to kind of let it be.
Right.
It is
right.
That one. That's funny.
You have
it
to
is.
Do the thing along and not think about the message, I guess.
Exactly.
I love
but
that
it's
movie.
Wonderful to have these opportunities for our kids to see that other kids are working hard with good values and making good choices. And
And that's true.
Speaking of kids, Shalyn, you are doing some incredible things for kids in your foundation work and in your charity work. Can you speak to that?
Yes, I am involved with a couple of different charities. There's one called Say It to My Face, which is an anti-cyberbullying foundation, and it just encourages kids to avoid cyberbullying. That if you have something to say, say it to their face, or if it's not something you would say to their face, then don't say it at all. I realize how incredibly hurtful and damaging it is, and that it never goes away once it's online. And so I feel like that's important, and it hasn't affected my kids yet, but I just want to make sure that it doesn't ever affect them. It's just so unnecessary. There's no reason to hurt people like that. And then the other organization is called Darkness to Light, and it is to educate parents on how to avoid child sexual abuse, how to avoid child sexual abuse, and that was very important to me because I was sexually abused as a child, and I felt like it was time for me to actually talk about that, and since I am in front of kids, that I could be a role model and get the message out more and talk about it. That it's not okay. That it's, you know, I want people to see the signs. I want people to know how common it is that you know, one in four girls by the time they're 20 will be sexually abused.
That's sick. That many kids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that it's usually someone that is very close to the family. Yeah, someone that they know and trust.
I know where you're coming from here. I'm not a victim of this, but I grew up with seven sisters. And,
oh, wow.
And not one of us is, you know, horrible looking or anything like that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Everybody's, you know, and it doesn't matter whether you're cute or whatever. But, you know, my dad had to fight people off for various reasons at times. You know, people do, and you know, and it can be, I'm not going to point fingers or anything like that or go airing everything. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on. And you're darn right. It can be real close.
Yeah. Yeah. You just have to be aware. We can't turn.
Because I wasn't expecting this on this call, but yeah, you know what I mean. It can be. You're right when you just said, it's closer than. Well, I can't remember exactly what you just said, but very. It's usually somebody that they know.
Yeah, it's usually right. Someone that they know and trust and love, and you know, as long as it. As long as we talk about it and we're aware that it happens, then we can help prevent it.
Yeah.
You know, the signs to look for.
How brave of you to be in this amazing role, be this famous actress and everything, and then decide that it's finally time to talk about something that happened to you in your life and help other people not only avoid it but deal with it. How cool is that? Bravo to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I, as a child therapist, I've worked with a lot of kids who've been abused, and I've also worked with perpetrators. And one of the things I really love about the work your foundation is doing is they're educating people who work with kids. And can you talk a little more about that? Because that is so important as a parent. For me to know that people are out there with educational tools and curriculum and ways for there to be for leaders to be trained to understand the signs is really important.
Yes, actually, Darkness to Light will send someone to a school or, you know, church or foundation, or even to, you know, a family. If you want to get a group of parents together. And they'll come and they'll give a talk and they'll explain, you know, what the signs are, what to look for, you know, just to just different tools that you can have to prevent anything from happening, which is great. So it, their website, it's darkness2light.org.
Are you you support them? Are you a spokesperson for them also, and so forth?
I am a spokesperson, and I've done one training session, and I plan to do more because I would like to be able to talk more about it and to be more directly involved in that way.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that Elizabeth and I have talked with a lot of guests about is transforming their pain, their own personal pain, into purpose, which is, you're a perfect example of someone who's done that, who's taken something that's been difficult in your life, and you've made it into something purposeful. And that's something we talk a lot about, and it's important and valuable. And thank you, really, thank you for doing that. That's a great example of what Best Ever You is all about.
You know, I'm curious, too, aside from that particular foundation, do you ever see yourself doing more with that? I mean, for example, I don't know all the details about all the things that you do, but would you ever write a movie or write a screenplay based on something like that? Or do you have those types of things happening?
Well, I hadn't thought about that, but I guess that's always a possibility.
In your spare time.
Yeah, in your spare time. Don't forget to write that screenplay, okay?
Yeah.
I think the world could probably benefit from that. You know, I did a movie, I don't know how many years ago now it was, probably 3 years ago now, called Influence. And I played the older sister of a bulimic. And it was all about basically how it was a role modeling type of movie where the parents are the role models and the kids learn from basically a smoker, a drug addict, and a bulimic were the kind of the three titles throughout the thing. And this movie went all over the country into school and so forth as a learning tool for the school. In fact, in our high school here, they played it, and I went up and I'm like, hi, yes, I played Suzanne, you know, that kind of thing. And I wonder if you might take some of the things that you're doing and do something like that, because that kind of thing in those schools, especially at that high school level or middle school level, they're craving, like absolutely craving that information.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good idea.
It might be.
I'm not kidding. It's a very good idea.
Well, I think it might be. I do that sometimes when we're kind of off topic of interviewing you and stuff, but I could see you really putting those skills, all of the skills that you have, to really cool use doing that, because kids don't sit and listen. They do, but they're more likely to absorb that information in video or movie format rather than somebody yapping at them now.
Oh, it's true, definitely.
With both of these things, though, that you have Darkness to Light and the anti-bullying thing, the anti-bullying campaign, Say It to My Face, that's actually a really old saying. My mom used to say that to me. Like, if you don't have something nice to say to somebody to their face, don't say it at all.
Right.
And people don't say that anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's cool that you're, I like that. We need to resurrect that old saying, don't we?
We do. We do, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
People just say don't bully, don't do this, don't do that, don't cyberbully. But I don't think people really understand, if you don't have something nice to say to someone's face, don't say it at all. Mm-hmm. It kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Huh. Pretty cool. Okay, I'm off.
That's
on
true.
Hand. Sorry. Yeah. Can we totally shift gears, you guys, and go to horses? Because I noticed in her box, there's a whole farm thing, and we are very. I'm in Maine, and Katie's in Washington, and so we love our country and our scenery and our animals. And Katie has deer that follow her around, and I have cats.
Oh my goodness!
We have horses.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm a horse person all the way, so I want to hear about that definitely.
I grew up in Virginia, and I grew up on a farm, and I Yeah, I rode horses my whole life. I don't even remember learning how to ride. It was just something I always did. So my parents must have put me on a horse when I was, I don't know, I guess in the very beginning. But and I rode, I was very competitive, and I rode all through, I guess I started showing when I was 8, and then all the way through college, and then after college a little bit, and then I realized I was more involved with my career, and that it was time to, I felt guilty that I wasn't going to the barn and to see my horse, so it was time to stop that. But my family still has horses. My aunt has a horse farm in Virginia, and my parents live in California now, but they have a couple of horses, and my sister lives in one of my sisters lives in California, and she has horses. So they're still there, but I don't get an opportunity to ride that much anymore, except for on Big Time Rush. they had me ride a pony in the first episode of the season, which was
not quite
hilarious.
A horse, but you know.
your pony. It was very funny. One of those things I thought I would never do is ride a pony on the Paramount lot, but that was very cool.
Oh, how fun.
Do you have a picture of that? I'd love to post that picture along with this show. That'd be hilarious. Do you have a picture?
There was somebody posted one on Twitter that was hilarious because I'm also wielding a frying pan in my hand while I'm riding a pony.
Well, if you can, we're everywhere on social media. We are Best Ever You, YOU. If you can connect us with that photo, we'll blast it around with the show interview because everybody can listen to the show on replay. The show never goes away, so us singing at the intro, it's there. It's there.
Oh, God.
It's there, yeah.
Yay!
We've been known to do stranger things, though. We've done entire shows just winging it, being funny. But okay, I am from Minnesota, right? And we're going to go all over the place here because this is our girl chat. I am from Minnesota, and I know the four hockey player boys went from Minnesota to Hollywood on the show and so forth.
Yeah.
Does it ever – does anybody have any serious ties to Minnesota? I was just curious. In real life?
None of us are actually from Minnesota.
Okay. Fair enough.
And you know, I'm not even sure why the creator chose Minnesota.
Hockey.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, I think he wanted a contrast between the snow and LA, and because I know in the pilot episode we had fake snow that we used to make it look like we were in Minnesota. And we all wore lots of hats and coats and stuff.
Parkas and whatever. Have you ever been to Minnesota?
Have you actually ever been to Minnesota?
I honestly think you guys need a field trip there in January.
I think that sounds like a great idea. Well, maybe not January.
No, January. You got to go to February then. Okay. I have never... I was born there. I was born in Bloomington, Minnesota, and I got to tell you, that is the coldest place on earth. I swear.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You get into January and February, and it goes like 60 and 80 below, and windy, and it just doesn't ever let up. And my husband has a job offer right now in Minnesota, and we're like, you know?
Uh-oh.
I don't think so. We're like, oh, no. And people think Maine is cold because I live in Maine right now, but Minnesota is way colder. It's flat, windy, and like sub-zero, and it is just it's cold. Yeah, talk about hockey. That's definitely where it is. So we talked. Okay, yeah. So we talked about Minnesota. I was just curious if anybody had anything there. But also, what about? Okay, so we talked about horses. What about your photography part of you? And I'm seeing a little bit of wine tasting also. We're just trying to get to know you a little bit outside of all the Mrs. Knight Big Time Rush stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, my family has a winery in the central coast of California in Santa Maria, and it's called Tantera Winery. And we've been around since 1997 was the first vintage. And we are a boutique winery. We focus on Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
So we do about 7,000 cases a year.
What?
Say the name one more time so I can write this down.
Tantara, T-A-N-T-A-R-A. Tantara Winery.
And where is that again?
It's in Santa Maria, California.
Oh,
beautiful. So it's about an hour north of Santa Barbara.
Yep. I'm from California, too. I moved here from California, so, and we love our wineries and stuff. Oh, fun.
Yeah.
I know. It's so
especially
great.
Pinot. I'm a big Pinot fan. Oh.
It's my favorite. It's just, it's so beautiful. It's so easy to drink. It goes with everything. We focus mainly on Pinot. We do 12 different single vineyard Pinots, and we do a couple blends. And then we also do some Chardonnay, Syrah, Pinot Blanc.
Oh,
and every now and then we'll throw in another varietal every now and then, just for fun.
Oh, you have the coolest life, don't you? That is just so much fun. So all the acting, and that's in California too. Do you have to travel for that? A little here and there, or mostly?
For the winery, I do, whenever I'm helping out with the winery, it's usually stuff that I can do on my computer or just going to wine events. And fortunately, there are a lot of wine events in L.A., so that's handy. And then I go up to the winery as much as I can. We have an open house twice a year, so I go for that, and I go sometimes during harvest and sometimes for bottling. Just to hang out there, because it just feels good to be out in the country and in the vineyards and
beautiful
with nature.
What's the hardest thing about owning a winery that no one would ever think about?
That you're at the mercy of Mother Nature, and that you never know what the weather's going to do and what's going to happen. Like right now, it's amazing, and it looks, you know, it's perfect. The grapes are happy. Looks like it's going to be a great harvest. But you never know. We could get like a crazy, crazy heat spell. Anything can happen, you know. And so that's probably the most challenging thing, is that you really are, you know, you're a farmer in some ways, and so you have to deal with whatever nature is giving you.
Yeah, you must take the cool. Photography wise, what are your interests there? Because that, I love taking pictures. So does Katie. So does her husband. And we never know whether we suck or not, though, but we still continue on and take our pictures. But what do you take pictures of? Or is it just...
Well, right now I take pictures of my kids, yeah. which is the most fun. I love taking pictures of my kids. And we actually just got back from vacation, and I took hundreds of pictures of them just doing all sorts of cute things. I've done some
cherish that, by the way. Cherish that, because what? That goes away when they cherish these moments right now. Get all
the
pictures
when they, don't
you
take
want
a picture of me.
When they hit about 12, the 15-year-old and the 17-year-old in this household, for sure, especially if they're boys, the thought of taking a picture of them is that part. Yeah, it's okay. They're kind of used to me. But there's the threat of don't post that on Facebook, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
I have to be really, respectful now, where I never had to.
You have to ask them.
I never thought about it, you know. And
yeah.
Now
they're
like, you've got to untag me, Mom. That is the nerdiest picture of me in the pool. I don't want anybody at school to see that. Whatever. And I'm sitting over here going, aren't my kids so cute? Oh, look at them. You know, they're
adorable. Yeah, I never thought of that.
So, get this. In order to have a Facebook account in this household, you had to be my friend. My 10-year-old just unfriended me. He's like,
wow.
I unfriended you, Mom. And he said, I didn't think you needed to be in my Facebook anymore. And I'm like, oh, boy, we've got
wow
going on. And it was really, really funny. And he didn't mean it mean or anything. He didn't take it in terms of I don't want to be your friend anymore. He just didn't want me messing around in his Facebook.
That's hilarious.
So, it's terrible the things Facebook. They do once they get a little bit bigger. But tagging, to get all the pictures in of those kids. Cause if I turn behind me on my shelf, I must have 60 photo albums filled with kid pictures.
And oh.
And it's slacking off now because they're getting bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cherish it. It goes by fast.
Okay. I will. Yeah, I just posted a photograph of me holding my son, and he's so cuddly, and so I'm hugging him, and I have a huge smile on my face, and my husband took the picture, and I posted it, and a lot of the comments were, cherish
this
moment your son, especially, will let you hold him like that.
And take the picture. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That is way fun. So what else do you take pictures of? Because I have this feeling about you that you're very creative.
I was doing some headshot photography for a while, and I still do that sometimes for friends. I'll take their headshots, and I have a lot of fun with that. It's such a great feeling when you take that one picture that you know is the one, that it's just golden. And it can be, you know, all these hundreds of pictures, and you spend all day, and you have all these different outfits and all these different locations. And it's that one shot you're like, oh, that is the one they're going to use. That feels really good. I love that.
Especially if you have a friend that's a photographer and you don't have to pay all the thousands of dollars for the headshots to be taken. Isn't that the most – do you think that's one of the most crazy, enormous expenses when you start out being an actor or actress or any kind of thing
it
in the arts? Is the expense of the headshots is wild, isn't
it?
And the car?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, everybody.
Well, and don't you think, though, that, too, as you get older and you change so much, you want your headshot to change to reflect who you are now? I mean,
I know
that I sit and look at pictures of myself 5 years ago, 3 years ago, even a year ago, and they don't reflect how I see myself today. So it might get really wild when you're in that particular business to have to keep generating more and more headshots.
Yeah, it's a constant. Yeah. And people get so stressed out about it because they put so much pressure on themselves to get the perfect, you know, to end up with the perfect headshot. So I think that's one of the reasons it's fun to take pictures of my friends, is that it takes a lot of the pressure away. You don't feel like you're getting to know the photographer for the first, you know, couple of hours. It's you're past that.
Yeah, they
so
can
more relaxed.
You can turn out some really bizarre pictures if you don't know the person taking your photograph. That's what I've learned over the years.
Yeah.
The worst pictures I have are when I just have, like, blindly called up somebody and said, "Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I need a couple pictures taken." And they don't even look like me. But absolutely freaky. To me, they don't, anyway. And then some of the best pictures I have taken, like one picture I used, my son took it when he was about 7. He just said,
"Really?" Hey.
Yeah. The one picture I used for a lot of stuff, my son took it. I was like, okay, because he loves taking pictures. He's always got a camera around his neck, and he'll take pictures of anything. And it's kind of cool. But,
and you were probably just completely relaxed in yourself because your son was taking the picture.
And hardly any makeup on, too, which is unusual for me because I love makeup. And let's go girly for a minute here because we're shoe hounds. Katie loves shoes. I love shoes. I love makeup, clothes, and so forth. We have a blog that we just put about I got picked on at Macy's because I was carrying a fall purse. And so forth, but it was really funny.
Oh my goodness!
She knows. But are you all girly? Are you all like? Are you interviewing with us right now, like in an evening gown with makeup on and hair extensions and all that stuff?
Totally.
Yeah.
I am totally girly, but right now I actually have on my workout clothes and my running shoes because I went for a quick run before I called you guys.
My hair's on top of my head in one of those fashionable buns, and I have on my tennis shoes as well. It's very beautiful. How about you, Katie? You in a ball
gown? Well, I actually am dressed for a business meeting, so because I have a meeting right after this, so I am actually dressed. But that's unusual, because usually I'm not. Usually I'm in my running shoes as well, in my running outfit, and I like to live in that, actually, and when I'm not working. But I have
You never know when you're going to be able to fit in that run.
That's right, and that's important. And absolutely. And but one thing I always do is I always have my toenails coordinated with my shoes. So I'm color coordinated as always.
Okay, wait a minute. That's a bit much for me. I got to hear that again. You coordinate your toenail polish to your shoes?
Yes.
To your
I love turquoise.
To your shoes
so
or to
I
your
always
purse?
Have.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. How funny is that? The thing I'm going to tweet that out just so you know. I'm going to use a Katie secret. Oh, that is way funny. That is the funniest.
Yeah.
Thing.
So if you look on my Pinterest, you'll see my toenail polish colors of preference.
It's blue.
And
and
my shoes match my toenail colors. Yeah.
So are they blue right now?
Yes.
I
have
on
turquoise.
Okay.
I have turquoise all the way. So.
You know, I was in the nail salon 2 days ago, and I almost, like, dared myself to paint my nails blue. Is it actually kind of cool? Because mine are fuchsia right now. We're talking about nails, sorry. But mine are fuchsia right now, and then they painted, like, little flowers, and then they put blue in the middle of the white flowers with glitter and stuff.
Aww.
Just on a couple of my nails. It was kind of cute. But blue.
Oh, Callie does that all the time. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at that. That's pretty cool. I'm talking about all this stuff for a reason, really. Does everybody, because you're an actress, does everybody, like, just throw clothes and shoes at you and purses and everything? And are you constantly, like, wardrobed and all that stuff? Is that kind of fun?
Oh, I wish. I am wearing my running shoes right now. Nike gave me. And I love them.
Good.
They're awesome. I have some things, but no, not that much. Not that much. I love fashion, and it's to the point where I turned a room into a closet.
Yeah,
there was a bedroom. It was really it's a small bedroom. and now it's a closet. And it's one of my favorite rooms in the house.
Good for you. Bravo to you. And you know, the other thing that goes, you know, I'm noticing this more and more. The more women I get to know, I notice that the ones that have the most beautiful closets and so forth are also total exercisers and good eaters. And they're so proud to walk into all of their clothes instead of doing the walk of shame. Like my closet upstairs is a little bit of the walk of shame. I've got fat clothes on the right, and I've got skinny clothes on the left, and I've got a box of, oh, my God, maybe sometime in my life that'll fit again, and so forth. But I notice, so where I'm going with that is, sounds like you have the walk of proud and not the walk of shame, and also how do you take such wonderful care of yourself, especially after having kids?
I guess it's a walk of proud. The section of my closet that's a little weird is the audition section, because I do have a whole section that stuff that I wouldn't wear in my everyday life, but I need it for, you know, whatever kind of random audition I might have. So there, because sometimes I'll have friends walk in and go, "What's that?" I'm like, "Oh, no, it's for auditions. It's okay, don't worry."
It's the stripper outfit. Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Just okay.
Nick can't hear that. Yeah, no. Oh, that's really funny. Yeah, you never know. Like, I bet that's kind of crazy, because when you do an audition, do you have to dress for the part you're trying to get? Or not really?
Well,
you
yeah,
dress
I mean,
yourself.
You don't want to go completely on the nose, but yeah, you want to kind of suggest. And it also, I'm really into. It helps me feel like I'm the character if I'm dressed as the character, or, you know, the shoes that the character would wear. And
sure.
It just, you know, it helps you embody the character.
It's
so.
Really cool. Have you ever auditioned for something that you've just completely not gotten? I mean, have you ever just gone in and just totally either blown the audition or just totally not gotten the part?
Yeah, all the time.
But I love talking about this with people because most people think it's like so easy and so glam, all glam and so forth, but actors face a ton of rejection.
A ton. And you never know. I think I'm the worst read of how it goes in the room because I'll come home and my husband will go, how'd it go? And I'm like, it was awesome. I totally nailed it. And I, you know, hear nothing. And then I'll come home crying. Oh, my God, it's horrible. I'm terrible. And then I, you know, get the job.
Yeah. And so how has that changed from when the moment you stepped foot into Hollywood to today?
I don't think that it has changed. It's still really hard to assess after you leave the room how it really went. And but you don't know what they're thinking. And or what they have in mind. And it's, I guess that after all this time, I know that you're not supposed to take it personally. And I still have to tell myself that. I still have to go, it's not you. It's not, you know, it's not that you weren't good enough or that you weren't, you know, attractive enough or whatever it is. They had something else in mind. So
I hope everybody just heard that. I hope everybody just heard you say that. Whether it's acting or a job interview or some other form of rejection and so forth, you have no – I hope everybody keeps their self-confidence and self-esteem up. It's one thing I'd love to teach in this world because it's not you.
Right.
You have no idea what they're looking for. You might have red hair and they're looking for purple.
Right.
Well, don't get down on yourself. You didn't know they were looking for purple hair. You know, that kind of thing. You have no idea. Go, Katie. I know you got this one.
Well, I always, what I teach my daughter, because she's now started trying out for plays, and the time has come for trying out for parts in the Nutcracker, and she's 10. And what I've tried to teach her from the very, very beginning is it just doesn't fit for you right now. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's what I say to her. Right now, this doesn't fit. This, for whatever reason, it's not right for you right now.
Right. What's cool,
and that's
that,
been
though.
Really helpful to her because then she doesn't ask questions about, well, could I have or should I have or did I have. It's like, it's not right for you right now, and just trust that something, yeah. You're meant to be doing something else.
Yeah.
And
I've left auditions before and gone, oh, I guess I was too heavy for that role or something, and completely put my own insecurity of my weight or whatever onto the situation, and it wasn't even it or anything, and then I've gotten the part. It's the freakiest thing. You know, it just, you just can't do that to yourself. You cannot go into beat-up mode for really anything. But also, Katie, what you just said is really important as well, because there's so much good that can come out of something sometimes when it doesn't work out. Like if you don't get that part, well, okay, that's fine, but look at what you did get, the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had anything like that happen to you where you're like, oh, good, I'm glad I didn't get that one because I'm doing this?
Yes. My husband and I were just talking about that the other day, that I tested for a show that is, I think it's in its sixth year or something, but it shoots in North Carolina, I think. And then right after that it was 2 years later that I got Big Time Rush. And that, first of all, if I'd been doing that show, I wouldn't have had that opportunity, but also would have broken up our family. And we were like, it would have been great to get the job, and we would have made it work, and we would have figured it out. But it would have made everything so different, and in hindsight, I guess it is good that I didn't end up getting it. But at the time, I was devastated.
Yeah.
And but everyone kept saying, "Oh, you'll get something better. It wasn't meant to be." It'll, you know,
don't you hate
door
that?
Closes, no, and I was like, "That's
you
not
feel like
true,
crap.
That's
you get all the cliches. You're like, no, just let me be miserable for a minute, and I'm going to set the
right.
timer, and I'm going to be miserable. Darn it, this is funny."
Yeah.
But I get
but
it. But
true.
Yeah, it is interesting how, in hindsight, though, even though you're miserable in that moment, I totally understand what you're saying, and the stuff people pull out of all the cliches and everything. Oh, don't worry, you'll get them next time or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you're just sitting there going, shut up.
This was it. This was my one
how things work out. What were you going to say, Katie?
Oh, I used to have in my therapy office. I don't have it anymore, but I used to have this egg timer. You know, the things that you turn over. And I used to set it, and I'd say, okay, here's your wine time. So wine for this amount of time.
Wine for this amount, yeah.
And just how many minutes with the timer?
Yeah, and just let them go and let them wine. And then what was really interesting about it is when people have permission to wine, they feel really uncomfortable.
Don't you?
Because then they listen to themselves and they go, oh, my God.
Like a stupid.
Right. And I actually, one of the things I did with a teenager who was whining in the horse barn one day is got everybody in the barn to start imitating her. And so when she started hearing everybody else whine, like, oh, my God, I do that, she stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
wow.
It's a powerful thing. Everybody needs to do it for a certain period of time, but then you got to stop and you got to move on.
Yeah, because you're way too smiley for all that, too. But I wanted to give everybody an eye on time, actually. Speaking of time, we have 4 minutes left of this interview, and I wanted to give you a chance to promote websites or anything like that that we haven't mentioned. Do you want people to follow you on social media?
Yes. Well, as I said, I'm on Twitter, and my Twitter name is at @followshallon. And,
we're getting a little bit of echo in the call. Can you hear that? Are you all?
I do hear that.
Yes. Okay. We're gonna just have to ignore it because I can't do anything about it. It's not gonna probably come through on the live show, but I can hear myself talking. In delay.
I hear a W.
So follow Shallon, Shallen. That's your Twitter.
That is my Twitter. Yes.
Okay. And then on Facebook. Are you Shallon Cates?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what that is. Why we have feedback? But sorry, making the show quiet.
Very fancy.
Katie, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
She doesn't have an echo.
You don't hear it?
I don't have an echo.
Oh, there. I think it's gone now. There, it stopped.
Okay.
That's funny. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
I can still hear myself echoing. Okay, so that quieted us down a little bit because we can hear Katie. We can hear ourselves talk and then talk again in the radio right now. I don't know what that is, but we're getting double, and so it gets a little confusing to do. But so follow on Twitter. I'm just going to talk then, and we'll close the show out. So it's follow Shallen on Twitter, and then on Facebook it's Shallen Kate. Kates.
C-A-T-E-S.
And that is you. You're there. You're real. You're retweeting. You're talking to people and so forth. And that's the way that you engage the fans and so forth. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah. You can hear me double. I'm sorry. Well, all right. So we killed a minute in echo. But I just want to thank you for being with us. It's been just a joy to share
an
hour.
Thank you. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, much success.
Really,
thank
in
you
everything.
Very much.
And Shallon,
thank you
for what you're doing for kids, really. Really important and valuable work.
Yes, neat. The Darkness to Light Foundation and Say It to My Face are two organizations that Shallon works with. And then you can catch her on Big Time Rush in the role of Mrs. Knight. What night was that again? Is that Monday night, did you say?
Mondays, Big Time Mondays.
Big Time Mondays, and that's on Nick. And she's Mama. Mrs. Knight, I love it. Well, I look forward to seeing all the things that your character does, and much success in everything that you do, and I hope you'll come back on the show maybe in a few
thank
months.
Thank you so much. It was great talking with both of you.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Shallon.
All right, Katie, stay with me for a minute.
Okay.
Isn't she cool?
Oh, that was so much fun. I just love girl talk. It's a blast.
Yeah. Anytime we get
it. She's a really great example of someone who has a story, has incorporated
that cut off, too. I don't know. Your call dropped off too, Katie. Oh, no. That's funny. Okay, I'm closing the show. We've got technical problems of some kind, and I have no idea what it is. But, Shallon, thank you for being with us. Everybody, thank you for being with us. And tomorrow, actually, tomorrow at 11 a.m., I am going to be a guest on Carrie Murphy's show. You can go to carriemurphy.com, and I'm going to be on there. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.